I get from what you're saying is enjoy the journey. You're in the top of the gate goes open, you're going down the course of the mountain, which is life. Enjoy the journey, enjoy the run, enjoy,
Right.
you know.
Because look, you can be great right now, even though you're not the best in the world at it. Be the best who you are right now. And remember who you are always. And what I tell young people too, like I got married, I've been married three times. Twice I shouldn't have gotten married. Right? Your inner voice knows the difference between yes or no. If you're ever in question as to what you should do, who you should be with, what real big barrier, what the big question, everybody has a big question at some point. And your head may say, I can fix this. Your heart may say, no, don't go there. That's really bad. Oh, and your head says, no, I can fix this. You're in a relationship. It's really fucked up, but you really like her. You really love her. I can fix her insanity, or I can fix my insanity. Just go ahead and get married. No, don't get married. No, you. It's a matter of time before you die in a big old flame.
Okay, so here's a good question then. What do you feel like you got from your relationship with Chris? Because that's a totally, I mean, you both are in sports. I could sort of see that as a Lindsey Vonn and Tiger Woodsy thing or something, but it feels like there was sort of a kinship there in that you kind of connected on a certain level of sports and sort of competition and that kind of stuff. What did you pull away from the relationship that you had with her that you feel like really kind of was a thing that you hold that you still connect with?
Well, look, so she divorced me to be with one of my best friends, Greg Norman. And this was that big thing that I just talked to you about and made mention of. Don't go there. It sounds good, but don't go there. So here's Greg Norman. So there's three things that are insatiable, I think. Sexuality, money, and fame. Those are three really big things that everybody needs and wants. So the fame part was Chrissy was in the twilight of her career, as was Greg Norman. And so by them being together, now they're back in the headlines. But it was not right. Chrissy was meant to be with me as my wife, as a parent to our children, and she got twisted into this. The everybody chases fame. Now there's a jet involved. Oh, a jet, and there's a mansion in Florida. We can fly around the world. He's worth 500 million. She got sideswiped, and then so he wrecks his family, wrecks my family, spends $1 million on a wedding in the Bahamas, and divorces Chrissy in 13 months.
Gosh.
So he tore her out of this great 21-year relationship with me and three great kids. And all of a sudden, she's alone.
But you guys still talk and still.
We're gonna have dinner tonight.
Oh, cool.
Three kids. I speak to her all the time, but unfortunately, she's now alone.
Well,
She's,
it
and,
sounds
and
like.
I have and I have a great I have a wonderful girlfriend that I've had for almost 9 years now.
Oh, okay.
An amazing woman that loves me. She loves me like a dog. She does everything,
Oh,
right?
regardless, she likes
Regardless of everything, she loves
it
me. She loves me so much.
regardless.
I've never been loved like this in my life. And Chrissy keeps saying, she says, well, when we're 70 and we're still single, can we get back together? I said, you're lucky I'm even speaking to you. Oh my God, I cried for 3 years when she left me.
But I think you're right though, in that if you find someone that where it doesn't matter who you are and they are just thrilled with you just being you, then all of a sudden you're in a whole different ballpark. You know what I mean? And I feel like if you're at a place where you've sort of found yourself, you're comfortable with where you are. You know, you've gone there through this journey. You now have this sort of understanding with the family that you had and the kids and all that life and everything. You sort of are comfortable in a stage of life that you're at now. So it's kind of a different, you're in a different place. And so in a way, it's kind of cool because the two of you can kind of come together where there are no presets. You know what I mean? You're both, before, both of you guys were sports athletes. You were both kind of on the thing and it was like you were playing that game. Whereas now, you don't really need to worry about that game. You know?
You know, there's no answer. You know, everybody has their own path. It's 72 years. I'm almost 72.
Wow.
Thank God I'm comfortable and I understand all the bouncing balls and where they are. I'm okay with letting them nonsense be over there. Yeah. I don't need it. Yeah. I don't need to be in the limelight. I don't need to be chasing stuff anymore. You know, I have this podcast with my son. I have three boys, but I got one son that really fits who I am and what I brought to the table. He's one of the best fly fishermen in the world, one of the top three tarpon fly fishermen in the world. He's an amazing bow hunter for elk. You know, he's a river guide. He guides every day in the summer, but he makes, you know, the majority of his income is from the podcast that we host together.
Right.
He's my best friend.
And does he live in Aspen?
Yeah, he lives in Aspen. They just had a child.
Oh, wow.
So, he's now going through that whole thing with his wife and a baby that doesn't know how to live without crying.
Right.
Talking about colicky.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But he'll grow out of it. But hey, look, we all have to find a place of peace, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a great place now in my life, thank God. You know, and I think that, like you said, you asked me before, I would not have changed a thing because I wouldn't be the person I am without having gone through all the trauma that you end up going through.
That's a lot of the times when people ask me, that's sort of my answer too, because the journey I've had has been very interesting, you know, and I could have done things better. Like you say, I walked down some trap holes and all that kind of stuff. But even walking down the trap hole, I gained some experience and I gained stuff from that. Sure. I would not be where I am today if I didn't do that, you know?
You grow from everything.
Yeah.
You grow from every bomb that goes off, every twist of fate, you know?
I feel like that whole saying that if it's a loss, if it's not a lesson. In other words, if it's a lesson, then it was worth it because you're going to get something from it. And if you can't learn from it, then it's a loss. You wasted your time. You know?
You have to, like you just said, if you take a look at it from a different angle, there's something to be learned from everything.
Yeah.
If you don't learn from it, you're being pretty hard-headed about it.
Yeah. That's, I think, the trick. When you're young, you're sort of a little hard-headed and you learn how to soften that just a little bit, you know, and I feel like that's what Mark Tashe was saying about him and skiing, was that he really wished that he connected a little more with you, because I don't think he realized how much of a baton pass that could have happened between you and him. He felt like he got some of that, but he kind of felt like he could, if he wasn't so, like you say, dog-headed, or I can do this on my own. He could have kind of reached out a little bit more and had a little bit more of a, you know, he was the older brother in the Tashe family, right? There was Mark, Chris, and Mike.
Yvonne.
Yeah, and I think, yeah. So he didn't have an older brother. So in a way, you might have sort of been that on the ski team-ish level of thing, because you were sort of going out as he was coming in.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, also too, he was a slalom skier and I was a downhiller.
Right, right.
And at the end of my career, I was just, you know, going so fast in my own direction, trying to figure out what am I going to do now?
Right.
You know, now with no education, no money. I went to the bank and had to borrow $5,000 to pay bills. I mean, I retired with no money in my pocket.
Wow.
None. It's like, nah, okay, what am I going to do now? Knowing that I don't want to work for anybody. You know, talk about being hard-headed. Oh my God. What kind of a fool was I? But well, I figured it out.
Did you sell papers like we did, the Aspen Times?
I sold papers. I had a paper route. I'd go out and sell papers.
Because that seemed like that was sort of like a one of those coming of age things of everyone that was in Aspen, was you at least once time or another sold papers.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
our parents made us work.
Yeah. Lil always says that was his first introduction into the world of business and doing stuff, because you actually could turn a dime into 20 cents. Anyways, well, this is really great. I'm really, I felt like we touched a lot of stuff. And I feel like it's good to see that you're doing well.
Well, thank you. No, it's all good. I couldn't be happier.
Well, how could you not? The Florida, you're in the Keys, right?
No, I have a home in Boca Raton, but I spend about a month and a half every year tarpon fishing every day.
Wow.
You know, we shoot videos. I have clients. I'm under contract with a bunch of fishing companies. So, you know, I've got to shoot little vignettes for them periodically.
Oh,
and
cool.
I still go to trade shows.
Wow, so you're definitely into the production world. That's kind of
cool. Well, for somebody who's retired, I'm really friggin' busy.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. The world you're in now, you could probably keep doing what you're doing for a while. You know what I mean? In other words, you can kind of do it on your own terms. As long as you're doing something, it's no big deal. It's not like you have to compete anymore.
You know, I could do it as long as I want to do it, you know? You know, as long as you have time for yourself, you can do a lot of stuff that you don't want to do, you know, and, it's not about money. It's about living fully. And me living fully is giving back, paying it forward. And that's what our podcast is about. And that's what about, you know, a lot of the things I do in the fishing world is about. You know, sharing my knowledge about what I know. And it takes a long time to get, you know, at the top of a mountain. And I was there in the world of fishing.
Yeah,
I was not there as a skier. So, you know, people think you're a great skier, you know? And I feel like, no, I was not a great skier. Yeah, I skied. I was number one American downhiller for 9 years, but great skiers win the Olympics.
Well, That's true, but you also got to remember, I mean, it takes a while for a country that's, well, we weren't even really ranked at all, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, we started to pick up, and things started to happen. So, in a way, you were part of the front end of getting Americans out there. I mean, there were some folks that, you know, that gave us hope, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I don't want to grade myself on the curve.
Right. Right.
I want to grade myself by the best.
Right. Right.
And as a skier, as a downhiller, I was not the best. I was not ranked number one in the world.
Right. Right.
So right. I want to be, I really am realistic with myself about where I stand with the best in the world.
Right.
The tarpon fisherman, I was the best for a long time.
Right. Right. Right.
A long, long time.
All right. Well, I feel like, you know, as we talk about what you can do when you're older, it's funny because my dad, technically, when we moved to Aspen, he was 35. His law firm just made a big deal. And he was like, I'm never going to see this kind of money. And I hate law. I'm retiring. I'm getting out of here. So he left and we went to Aspen. And so for a few years there, he was like just figuring out what he wanted to do. But the truth is, he could never really retire. He got involved in different investments and real estate stuff and other kinds of things. And the truth is, to this day, he's in his 80s and he's still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I feel like retirement is giving up. It's one of those things where you just sort of, it's like permanent vacation as opposed to just slowing down. And
well, you know, I think of the term retirement as financially secure.
Right.
Retirement, you're retiring from a work that created finance and financial security. Even though we'll continue working, I'm no longer having to work per se. Retirement right. means financial freedom in my world.
Right.
Now I can leave certain things where I've made a lot of money doing, but I'll always be doing something that is a work type of a work form.
Right.
But it's you never retire.
Right.
You just get financially secure, so you don't have to do certain things you don't want to do anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's, I think you're right. It's about more, not so much about hanging up stuff. Cause you know, I feel like a lot of people have a perspective of what that means. And until, I think your goals need to be different. I feel like a lot of people are always comparing themselves to someone else rather than themselves. If you're pushing yourself and trying to beat your time and trying to beat your best, then all of a sudden you look up and you are beating other people. Do you know what I mean? Because you're pushing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can compare because unless you compare, you really don't know how well you're progressing.
Right. Right.
But you never want to hold yourself like, I want to beat that guy. No, you just want to do well.
Right.
And in doing well yourself, obviously you live in a nicer home and you're doing certain things.
Right.
Driving cooler cars or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was another thing too that was different in Aspen back in the day was that the people who had money and the people who didn't have money, you really couldn't tell. Because whether it was, Whip Jones, Wink Jaffe, George Stranahan, they kind of all wore jeans and they kind of all just hung out and they all watched rugby and softball in the park
and drove trucks.
Exactly. It was like you really couldn't tell the difference. And I feel like that to me I don't know if it was so much innocence as it was a wish. It's funny because the people who had the money and the potential to be on top didn't want to be on top. You know what I mean? They just wanted to be, when they came into town, they just wanted to be a local like everybody else.
They were just still doing what they did.
But now I feel like it is about, you know, it's all VIP. It's all about who's, you know, are you, you know, capable of getting in here or there? I mean, just the fact that a season pass is $3,000 is insane. You know, I mean, it used to be at $120. Anybody could afford that. Whereas now it's a little tough for a person who's a waiter or.
You know what? It's all about supply and demand.
Yeah.
You can get it. That's what they can get it.
Well, it's when the difference is you're parking jets instead of cars. There's a big difference there, you know?
Yeah, you know. And it's like, I just, you know.
It's, what I feel like is that I think you had people that came to Aspen to get away, and now you have people that come to get away, but just for a little bit. It's not to actually drop anchor and actually really get away. You know what I mean?
Look, I'm kind of like one of those guys now. I'm a snowbird.
Yeah, but that's different. In other words,
yeah.
you've got your anchor and you've done your stuff and you're part of that community. You can just slip in and it doesn't matter. You take your car and ride into town and you're just, you know what I mean? It's, but I feel like from what I could tell, it felt like there were folks that would come in on a jet, have their little party and then take off. That's a little different than.
No, for sure. No, absolutely.
Donating to the
yearbook, saying, high school. You know, so Aspen has lost its core.
Yeah.
Aspen is no longer what we know it to be. Right. Because what we grew up with, it's been gone for a long time.
Right.
So, you know, how do I live in a town or from be I'll always be from Aspen.
Right.
But my Aspen's not this Aspen.
Right.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
We just have to dance around the edges.
Well, and the truth is too, I came here in Portland in 89. In Portland back in 89, I slipped into the art community. Gus Van Sant with the films, Good Will Hunting, and that guy. There was a lot of folks. Will Vintons was doing the California Raisins. I don't remember if you remember that whole campaign, but they did all the clay animation and they were really big for a while. So I got in underneath that scene here in Portland, and everybody knew everybody, just like in Aspen, you know, where it was small enough where didn't matter who you were, you knew everybody. Now everybody from San Francisco has moved up. So all the production companies, all the animation studios, all the stuff have moved up from San Francisco. So it's changed that atmosphere. Oh, could I borrow a hammer? Hey, what can I use that camera over there for this one shot and blah, 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 and all that stuff. That used to happen all the time. Now it's just so much people that you don't really get to know everybody anymore, you know? And I feel like that's changed here too. So the change is happening everywhere. It's not just Aspen. Aspen for me is an example for other folks to sort of maybe open them up so that the idea of being from Dallas and moving to Portland and taking your Dallas approach in Portland, it's sort of like, you know, you've come to Portland, why? Well, you've come to the Pacific Northwest for something, whether it's the fishing, the rafting, whatever it is, you've come here for something. Why not enjoy that and be part of that and drop the Dallas stuff and become part of a Northwesterner, you know? And I feel like that's sort of where I feel like enjoy the culture where you are. Do you know what I mean? Don't be part of that. Add to it, add to the mix, as opposed to change it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because Portland's changing too in drastic ways.
It's happening throughout the West. That's what COVID did. It showed people that they can work from afar. They don't have to be in the cities anymore.
Right.
And that's what's happening in Montana. Not so much in Wyoming, because Wyoming's, you know, a big state with a very few. I mean,
pretty sprawled out.
The population of Wyoming might only be 1 million people.
Right.
That's the only state you can drive 150 miles an hour all day long and not get caught.
Yeah, it's true.
I love driving across Wyoming.
Well, some of the best skiing I ever did was in Jackson Hole. That place is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a big mountain for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well,
thank you for inviting me to be on this, you know, Growing Up Aspen.
Yeah, well, I feel like you're definitely a very important color to the palette of the town.
Well, thank you. No, that means a lot, because Aspen's it's a very big, it's a big energy.
Yeah.
Aspen's is no longer this little mining ski town.
Right.
There's a lot of big mines here.
Yeah.
The Ideas Festival, the music, it's really big, and that's why it's such a big attraction.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm lucky because I can live outside of town, but tap into little parts of what I still like.
Exactly.
You can no longer keep small, beautiful pieces of paradise small anymore, because everybody wants to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. Once you have something that's good and people love it, everybody wants to go have a piece of that. And it seemed to follow me everywhere I go. Sounds like you too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, Andy. I really appreciate everything.
Thanks. Cool, man.
All right, buddy. You
enjoy
take care.
Keep on keeping on.
All right, you too.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Bye.